So myself and Hopeless became very, very well acquainted, and I call it my Heathcliff and Kathy phase in life. And any of you who know Wuthering Heights will understand the high highs and the low lows of these lovers' lives. It's, you know, when it's great, it's fabulous, and when it's not, it's terrible. And when I think of that, I think, how in the name of Rumpelstiltskin did I find hope in the very worst times of my life, and especially that last moment when my dad's mental health completely dissolved and he took his own life? How did I ever find hope? Hello friends, and thank you for joining me for the Way Forward podcast, brought to you by me, Fliss Goldsmith, and Co-Design Coaching, where we create your optimal life together. Hello my friend, and welcome back to the podcast. It's great to be here with you again. And this week we're talking about a subject I find endlessly fascinating. It's the subject of hope. Now, for a long, long time, I was of the understanding and the opinion that hope was an emotional thing. You know, we think about hope in terms of, oh, I hope that I have pizza for dinner tonight, or, oh, I hope we get to go on holiday to Spain this year. It's like, it's a feeling, don't we? So, you know, I think most of us would probably put ourselves in the camp of thinking that hope is a feeling, an emotion. And I was in that position too for the longest time. But I'm here to tell you that that is absolutely categorically not the case, which is a bit flummoxing, really. But do not despair, because I have come armed as ever with bundles and bundles of love and compassion and actual practical things that you can do to understand hope and have more hope in your life. So get yourself comfy, if that's what feels good to you, and let's have a little exploration into the world of hope. And I must note that this is actually going to be a two-part podcast episode. So this episode, episode one, is going to be a lovely adventure through hope to explore it and find out exactly what it is. And once we're comfortable with that, there will be another episode following next week. And that will be more about how we can have more hope in our lives and why you'd want to have more hope in your life. So you're in for the two-parter, for the long haul. Might take extra biscuits to get through, but I'm all here for that. I'm absolutely here for that. Jammy Dodger is the one that I will be using to get myself into a good space for this podcast. But you do you. You know, whatever you like. If it's a digestive, it's chocolate, gluten-free. I've never met a biscuit I didn't like. So let's get into it. I'm going to ask you a question first. Do you think of yourself as a hopeful person? Just have a think about that for a second. Would you say you are a hopeful person? And then I'm going to ask a second question. Do you think of yourself as an optimistic person? So do you think of yourself as an optimistic person? Very, very often we use the words hope and optimism and that feeling that we connect to it interchangeably. But as ever, it really, really comes down to being specific about identifying what you're feeling and what you're meaning, because there is a difference between hope and optimism. Here's the difference. Quite simply, hope is an active process. So hope is something that requires you to do something in order for it to become a reality. So let's say, going back to what I said earlier, I hope we have a family holiday to Spain. That hope will be based on you identifying where you want to go in Spain, saving up the money to go to Spain, however you work out how you're going to do that, booking the holiday, ensuring that you can keep living your day-to-day life and have enough money for that. All of those things require you to do something in order to get that outcome, that holiday to Spain. Optimism is still a great and lovely thing, but it's a little bit more whimsical. It's passive. It does not require you to do anything, because it's just that feeling of a kind of, you know, it doesn't really have a basis to it. You just have this kind of happy, positive feeling about something. Like, I'm optimistic it's going to be a really warm summer this year. You can't have any control over that. You know, you can't control the weather. My goodness, I think if we could control the weather in Britain, then we would have absolutely cracked it, because, well, if you're listening in England, you're all eye rolling with me, the weather. But, you know, seriously, we can't have any control over the weather. So we're optimistic. It will be a nice summer. It will be sunny. But people will interchange and they'll say, oh, I hope it's a nice, warm summer. Where they actually, they're meaning that they're optimistic about it. And this is where we need to get really super granular and make that distinction. And it took me the longest time to go through where I was using my language and think, oh my goodness, I'm doing it all the time. Even down to the point, and this is really sort of, you know, this is a boring, geeky me thing to do, but I was thinking, well, I say, I hope you have a happy birthday. Well, I mean, if I'm not actually going to be there on your birthday, does that mean that I actually wish you a happy birthday because I can't have any control over it? But then by sending the card, maybe I am having some control over it if my card then makes you happy. Yeah. Living with me is an absolute hoot, let me tell you. But back to the point, that if you go through your language day to day and think about where you're using the word hope, are you actually using it to describe things that you have control over, that you can plan out, and that you can affect? Because if you're not, then you need to stop that. And it's a gradual thing, but resetting your language and your mindset will actually connect you more deeply to the concept of hope. And in doing that, as you'll find out in part two of this podcast on hope, you will be able to invite more hope into your life because you are really specific about what hope is. And the benefits are enormous. And as I say, I will be going through that in the next episode. So just before we move on to the next point, I think it's really important to note that hope and optimism can be present in the same circumstances. So going back to my holiday, you know, I can hope for a great holiday in Spain with the family because I can have agency and effect over that. But I can also be optimistic that we're going to have great weather while we're there. So, you know, that can happen at the same time. But what's important to note is that optimism can be lost where circumstances break down. So if I'm leading up to the holiday to Spain and I'm saving my money as I go along, but I hear that, you know, in a few months' time, Spain is going to have torrential rain, I'm not going to be optimistic really about the weather, but I'm still hopeful that we're going to get there and that we can have a good time because I can have agency over whether we have a good time and that we get there. So, you know, I think that's really, really important distinction. So as we're focusing on hope rather than optimism, let's look at what hope actually is. Hope is simply that belief, that knowledge, that the future can be better than today because I believe in my capacity to engineer it to be so. Yeah? The future will be better than today because I believe in my ability or my capacity to make it happen. That is what hope is. And in brackets, just about optimism, I will stop going on about it in a minute. That is the opposite in terms of, not that the future won't be better, but the future will be better because it just will, because something will happen somewhere and that's cross your fingers and hope it's great. Hope is your actual concrete belief that you can make something good happen in the future. You have the ability and means to do so. So I want you to sort of take a moment just to embed that into your thought process before we go any further. What I really love about hope while you're absorbing that is how empowering hope is. You know that empowerment is one of the absolute core values here on the way forward. And hope is so empowering because you can do something about it. It's not outside of your control. It's not a passive thing. It is an active thing. So that is why I'm so pumped up, as you might be able to hear in my voice, when I talk to people about hope, because people think it might be inaccessible or unavailable to them. And there are, you know, barriers to overcome because everybody has personal circumstances, unique scenarios in their life. But fundamentally, hope is possible for anybody with the right techniques and the right support in place. So that's why I'm super excited. It's very, very empowering. So now you know what hope is. I think it's really useful for us if we look at the flip side of what hope is. And of course, that is hopelessness, feeling hopeless. And some people conflate that with despair. There are slight differences, but they are minor. So if you want to embody that feeling of despair or hopelessness when we talk about the converse side of hope, then, you know, that's fine because it does work to the same end. So hope is something that is very empowering. But of course, despair or hopelessness, being the opposite, is born of a place of disempowerment. When you feel you have had all of the cards taken out of your hands, played against you, that is when you feel disempowered, disenfranchised, and that is when you begin to feel hopeless. And as these feelings of hopelessness stack on top of each other, because maybe you have more than one scenario going on in your life where you're feeling disempowered or you're feeling that things are being taken out of your hands, you start to stack those moments of hopelessness one on top of the other. And that is when things start to become quite bleak. And this is where it can lead to a crisis point in mental health struggles, because you feel so disempowered and you feel so hopeless. And sadly, I have seen the results of that firsthand, which is again why I am so committed and passionate about making hope accessible to everyone so that they have this in their emotional and mental well-being toolkit. And they can draw upon it before it gets to that stage where our mental health is severely negatively impacted by feeling hopeless. So I am going to look at an example of hope and how that played out. And I'd like you to reflect as I go through it on your own life and try and think of some examples perhaps where hope has shown up, or in fact, where hope has been missing, where you have started to feel hopeless. If you've got a pen and you want to jot them down, I always find that to be a really beneficial thing, because we can often forget these moments because we're tied up in the day-to-day of living. It's busy, things are happening, and this period of reflection is for you, and it will actually benefit you going forward. So if you want to note that down, then that could be a really helpful thing for you. So here's the example I'm going to give you for this one. So I knew a woman who had experienced and suffered multiple miscarriages. She was understandably depressed. She was low, and she was very pessimistic about life. You know, she had continually gotten up her hopes that her and her husband would have a baby, and she had fallen pregnant and experienced that euphoria, that joy, that excitement, and then experienced losing that baby and the utter despair and trauma that comes with that. And she had repeatedly experienced that. So that is just a picture of where this lady was at. And I remember one day we went for coffee, and it was just like time stopped for me, because we were having a conversation and she said to me that she was still hopeful that she could become a mum. And I literally stopped, almost frozen, because I thought, how on earth can you have hope? Can you feel hopeful that after multiple repeat miscarriages, you will still become a mum? And I couldn't fathom how that was possible or practical. And I must have bumbled through the conversation somehow, papering over my absolute inability to face the conversation with her. You know, and I kind of wish I could go back in time and replay that and do a much better job, because I have no idea what I said. But she wasn't shy about sharing this hope, this sense that she would become a mum. And people began to gossip, and they, you know, some people would say that she was amazing for being so hopeful, and other people thought she was absolutely deluded and was doing herself a long-term disservice. So anyway, one day when we were at work, because we worked together, and we were standing at the kettle, because, you know, coffee machines were a bit like Donald Trump's humility in the early noughties, absolutely non-existent. It was a kettle in the workplace or you went dry. So we're standing at the kettle, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to ask her. I had a brave moment, and I asked her, how can you remain hopeful when you've experienced all this loss? And she was really candid. She said, because I've got options, so I can do something about it. I can adopt, I could foster. So either way, I know I'll be a parent one day. And I think maybe that was my first unbeknowing glimpse of what hope actually is. And I know there'll be people listening to this who have experienced pregnancy difficulties, miscarriage, stillbirth, the loss of a baby, an inability to get pregnant. And I just want you to know that this is in no way a judgment of anyone who feels they don't have hope, because I know that options are not always available to people. But this was just an example I felt I could use of where I could see how somebody was genuinely able to talk about hope because of the fact that they did have options available to them. I know myself that I have felt hopeless at various stages of my own life. Most often, despair or hopelessness has shown up in my life, and probably in yours, when we feel, or at least we perceive ourselves to be a victim of a crime, a betrayal, an abuse, an unfair process, politics, war, accidents. This is absolutely an endless list of how we can be or perceive ourselves to be a victim. And it's completely understandable to feel hopeless, because that is when we are disempowered. And I am in no way diminishing being or feeling like a victim. After all, to be or feel like a victim, you have to be or perceive yourself to be adversely affected by somebody else's actions. You have been acted on. They have had the power over you. You have been passive, not active. So of course you are going to feel disempowered. And I'm going to give you some personal sound bites of how feeling hopeless or being hopeless has shown up for me in the last 40 years. When my first boyfriend cheated on me, and actually I'm going to replace cheated with betrayal, because this is a different podcast, but when we say cheated, it sounds a little bit like, you know, sweet, or, oh, you know, not too bad. When you're betrayed by a partner, a boyfriend. When my parents divorced, I felt hugely hopeless. When I didn't get promoted to a job I was pretty sure was mine and I knew I was competent and deserving of. When I had a miscarriage of my own. And when my dad completed suicide. Now, up until the last of those that I mentioned, I know I was very much in the fluctuating, optimistic, hopeful camp. In life, if it was going well, I was in love, I had a nice job, the sky was blue, blah de blah de blah, I was optimistic. But it didn't take too many of the dominoes to fall before I started to feel hopeless. You see, the thing was that I never, even in the good times, truly felt hopeful, because I never really believed in my own ability or capacity to make the future better than today. So in that way, I was actually a victim. I was a victim of my own lack of self-esteem and self-belief. I was passive because of it. I wasn't engineering a better future. I just crossed my fingers and said I hoped it would be. But actually, I was more wishing it would be, because I had no say or input in what was happening, or belief that I could have a say or input in what is happening. So I lived continually at the behest and the whims and the actions and the thoughts of everyone around me, with nothing really to cling to when things turned negative. Life was happening to me. Life wasn't happening for me, because I wasn't actively making it so. So myself and hopeless became very, very well acquainted, and I call it my Heathcliff and Kathy phase in life. And any of you who know Wuthering Heights will understand the high highs and the low lows of these lovers' lives. It's, you know, when it's great, it's fabulous, and when it's not, it's terrible. And when I think of that, I think, how in the name of Rumpelstiltskin did I find hope in the very worst times of my life, and especially that last moment when my dad's mental health completely dissolved and he took his own life? How did I ever find hope? Well, I discovered the work of Professor C.R. Snyder, Rick Snyder, who was an American positive psychologist, and I was introduced to him and his work through the queen of emotional well-being, which is Brené Brown, the queen of empowerment. Not introduced personally, you know, we went out at dinner and wondering whether to have the Merlot or the Chablis. It was through her work that I discovered his work. And when I say it changed my life, that is no understatement. That is not an oversell. It opened doors that I never thought would be possible. It allowed me access to a life that was more joyful, more positive, and more easeful through simply connecting to what hope was and to my ability to engineer a future that I wanted, a different future from the today that I was living. It's not a magic bullet. It's not a magic pill. It is a process. But the great news is it is 100% teachable, this skill set. And therefore, it is a 100% learnable mindset for anybody. It doesn't require any existing experience. It doesn't matter what your situation is. Those barriers, if you have any, can be overcome with the right techniques and support. I promise you that. It is scientifically researched, proven, and backed, and it will impact your life positively forever. Forever. And that is what part two of this podcast is going to explore and be all about. And you do not want to miss it. So thank you for joining me for our discussion around hope and what it is and how it shows up in our life and how not having hope adversely affects us. And I am hopeful that you will join me in part two, because I feel I will have engineered that happening by putting my heart and soul and work into this episode for you. I truly want every human breathing on the planet today to have the tools to live the future, the tomorrow that they want, not that someone creates for them. So thank you so much for listening. Now we know more about hope, and we're ready to learn more about how to implement it in our lives. And now we know the way forward. Thank you.